In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. I don't know how many times I've heard those words that begin this story that I've heard countless times. And yet this year, for the first time, I was stopped short by that second sentence. While Quirinius was governor of Syria. The truth is, I've never noticed Syria in this passage. But suddenly, this year, the Christmas story did not feel so far away. The town it takes place in was part of the Syrian province then, and today it is less than 50 miles from the border of this place that I now see so regularly in the news. A couple fleeing with a baby from this war-ravaged land was no longer something in my imagination, but an image I see daily. And it made me wonder, what gathers us here every year? If what we celebrate from 2,000 years ago, I wondered if it has really changed our world, if it's really changed us. In the same province where the Christ child was born, we still see images of the strife that plagues our world and the nations around our world. Is what happened that night truly good news for all the people, as the angel said? The last few weeks have left me struggling with what I can possibly do that matters in our world today, when the facts often seem not to matter or at least be up for dispute, when we all seem to think the worst of others and fear those different from ourselves. I've been asked a few times what our faith has to say for bridging the widening gaps that exist between us. And to be honest, at times, I've struggled to give an answer. What can we actually do to change the realities around us? But over the last few days, I've been thinking about what has changed my mind, what has helped me to see the world differently and to stop fearing those who I did not know, those about whom I had been taught to assume the worst in the past. Sometimes it helped when I encountered new facts through conversations or reading. But the truth is, when real change happened, when I truly came to see people in a different way, it was always because of one thing. I got to know someone. My ideas about racism and how people of color are treated in our country began to change when I moved in with two African American friends and their families welcomed me in while I was away at college. My beliefs about gay and lesbian people changed when I got to know men and women who loved each other deeply and well. People who made each other better by their love. People who reflected all that I knew love could be. My assumptions about people who were not Christians were changed when I got to know Jews and Muslims and atheists who were thoughtful and loving and kind, who wanted to know more about my faith and what I cared about, who weren't confused about their beliefs or threatened by mine, whose generosity of spirit enriched my life and made me more of who I was created to be. Over and over, I have been changed by coming to know the exact people I had been taught to fear. Great chasms in my heart that separated me from other people were bridged because they took the risk of knowing and loving me. And this Christmas, I've come to wonder if that is the deep truth of what we celebrate tonight. God knew that the only way to bridge the eternal chasm that we had created between God and ourselves, the only way to heal the divides that we have made among ourselves, was to become a person we could know, a person who could know us. God entered our world. God took on flesh so that we could be changed, the only way we ever have been changed, by knowing and loving someone and being loved in return. We are changed mightily when God takes on our flesh. If we ever needed any reassurance that, as John says, God did not send his son to condemn the world, then this crying, giggling, sleeping baby should put away any fears. There are many theologians who would say that this was God's alternative plan, a plan B, so to speak, a way to fix the original plan that we had messed up in the fall. But there are many others, especially Franciscans, who offer a different view. They believe this was the plan from the beginning, when the Word was with God and the Word was God. God created us to know us and love us, and the only way for there not to be an eternal division between us was to come and be among us. This was God's plan from the beginning of the world, to know us and to love us as one of us. God is born as a baby among us, and we are mightily changed. In God, we come to know that divinity is not only held in the perfect. God's presence is not marked by what is immaculate. God's glory is not shown in power and prestige. God does not come among us in dominance to be feared, but in a tiny hand grasping a finger to hold. God is not as we think, as we would imagine. God is not the other we convinced ourselves to fear. God is not the ideas we argue about, the one we try so hard to control. God has come for us to know and to be known. And when God came to be known in that baby, it changed all of us. Our very humanity was healed when it was taken on by God. In Jesus, we were shown all that we were made to be, the very fullness of love lived out to the end. Athanasius, one of the first church fathers to write about the incarnation, said, "He became what we are, so that we might become what he is." Because God became flesh, we can know that every child that is born, each and every one of us, and every person we encounter is part of the divine, part of the creator of the universe. Our own flesh and the flesh we encounter every day is infused with the image of God. We are all worthy to know and be known, to love and be loved. It's the essence of who we are, and it goes far deeper than anything that divides us. Surely, in God becoming one of us, we are changed. But I believe the even greater mystery that gathers us here tonight is that God is willing to be changed by us as well. In coming to know us, the creator of the universe chooses to be affected by us. John's telling of the incarnation, which we read at the end of the service, tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. The Word was a Greek concept that described the ordering power of the universe. It is the energy that keeps our world turning, the law and order of our lives, by which we know that day follows night and spring follows winter, that elephants give birth to baby elephants and giraffes give birth to baby giraffes. The concept still exists today. I know people who do not believe in God, but they do believe in something they usually describe as a greater power or energy that holds us all together, that connects all life. And in this gospel, John says that this source of all being, this life-ordering power of the universe, became a Jewish carpenter, born in the baby we celebrate tonight. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. In coming to know us, the creator of the universe chooses to be affected by us. How many people does God partner with that night? Jesus depends on a young girl to carry him, a conquered peasant man to guard him, uneducated shepherds to announce his birth. As St. Augustine said, "Man's maker was made man, that he, ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast, that the bread might hunger, the fountain thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired on its journey, that strength might grow weak, that the healer might be wounded, that life might die." The creator of the universe becomes a helpless, dependent baby. Was this really what we needed? It's not what I would have picked. When God entered our world, if you had asked about facts or ideas or policies, if you had asked for certainties about anything, this God would have responded with inarticulate crying or those contagious giggles. Or maybe he might have slept right through it. And I find that rather disconcerting, really rather scandalous. I don't know about you, but I long for certainty. I want reassurance, some truth, someone to sort out the ideas warring in my heart, someone to calm the anxieties in my soul. So much of us, we long for the pure, the certain, the immaculate. Whether it's an immaculate conception or an immaculate view of Scripture or an immaculate church where everyone gets along. But the truth is, it's just not an immaculate world that God is born into. God is born into this messy, amazing world that we live in. A world created full of wonder and plagued by pain and struggle. A world as broken and beautiful today as it was then. This is the world God chooses to be born in, to be affected by, to be dependent on. God chooses to come into the world as a baby crying for food, with a hand reaching out to grab a finger, because God chose to heal this world not in one great act of power, but in an invitation to love and care and get to know someone as different from us as the creator of the universe, wrapped in someone just like us. God asks us to be part of reconciling the world, of bridging the gaps and divisions that pull us apart, of being willing to take the time and risk to know someone we aren't so sure about, to trust that all flesh has been redeemed by God taking it on, to believe and proclaim the good news of great joy. And God has made it our job to make that good news true for all the people. Because if God made flesh is good news for any of us, then it must be good news for all of us. The creator of the universe came among us to draw the whole world back together, to heal all that is broken in us, and that can only be done by healing all that is broken between us. We cannot be healed or made whole alone. We only can be all that we were created to be, at one with God and each other, when we are together. And that is the work God is doing here among us, inviting us to be part of. And if tonight in our world that seems impossible, then we know this is the place the Christmas story is among us. For the great hope we share tonight, as John tells it, is that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. On this night, God enters the darkness of our world, of our souls. This is always how God chooses to work. From the beginning of creation, when the Spirit hovered over the darkness, to when Isaiah tells us that the light shone on those walking in the darkness. From the darkness of a stable in Bethlehem to the darkness of a grave near Jerusalem on Easter morning. It's always in the darkness that God chooses to move. And that is what gives us hope to hold on in our darkness, knowing that all that is lost will be found, all that is broken will be healed, all that is dead will be brought to life, and that the light has come into the darkness. And because of what gathers us here tonight, the darkness will never, ever overcome it. Into our messy, broken, beautiful world, our God has been born among us. And this, my friends, this is why it matters 2,000 years later when our world needs it more than ever. This is the good news for all the people. I'll close with the words of the poet, for they usually tell it best. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours of anguished shame he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain. He came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. Amen. Amen.